everyone, oh, it's going to be a witchy night. It's going to be such a witchy night. This is my favorite conversation. Welcome to our guests from Dr. Raleigh's World. Welcome to the support system. This is the only conversation I really ever want to have. And I will guarantee you tonight will be a grab your notebook moment or two. So make sure you have your notes, something to write with. You are going to have that experience. I'm quite certain of it. I'm intuiting it. So Dr. Raleigh invited some of her students to our conversation tonight. And listen, here's what I want for myself and what I love to share with everybody, all the members in the support system, which is I am on a quest. I'm on a quest for more joy, more love, more abundance, for spiritual expansion, for emotional healing. I really want to live my life to the fullest level of all the possibilities. And so I know that that is fueled by this very conversation, by the conversation about what's possible, about starting to understand that things are not as they appear, that there's so much more to this experience that we can, I'm almost playing that small, that everything is what we cannot see. And what we can see is just like a little teeny weeny ant-like thimbleful of what's really going on. So I met Dr. Raleigh a while ago, and she's a mystic and intuitive. She's a PhD, an MBA, a master's. She went to Northwestern. I have to say that, Dr. Raleigh, because my dad's a cat. So she's worked with CEOs all over the place. So she knows business, she knows investments, she knows all that, but she's also a super witchy intuitive. And I had this reading with her that, I'm gonna have her explain it to you because I almost don't have the language for what that experience was like. I could tell you some of the things she said, but it was an experience of meaning and understanding myself and my many lives very intimately, and my fears, the things that hold me back, my blocks, and it was always also deeply healing. So Dr. Raleigh, why don't you come out and join us, my friend?
Hi.
You know I like you so much.
Oh my gosh, I'm gonna come over to your house and stay.
Yeah, I like you so much, and I also often have to have you explain to me what you're saying because you're very, very smart. You're very, very smart. You're very, very learned. Very, very learned. And I love the way you articulate things, even though sometimes I got to say, what does that word mean? So everybody's here for our conversation, your people, members of the support system. We want to bring your people inside the support system. And we're going to be working on y'all for the next couple months to get you to do that. This really is a place where the quantum field is shifting the paradigm for women in the middle of life, and we are getting to live it even as we participate in the shifting of it. So Dr. Raleigh, I love starting with this question because I think it's going to ground us. You invented, is that even the right word? I don't know. The Raleigh method. Would you describe what that is?
Absolutely. First of all, thank you so much for the honor and privilege of being with all of you. I can already feel the blessing of your energy, even through Zoom, which is, how does that even happen? But your presence is so powerful. And I appreciate the kind of membership that Sherry's created with all of this beautiful energy that's in the space, that feels safe, that feels warm. And so thank you for letting me be part of that. And also want to welcome all of the people here. Thank you for those who are here that have done my readings before. It's a privilege to have to be with you. And also thanks to any participants in my classes. They're teaching me all the time. We have an advanced class here. Most of them amazing, better than me. So thank you for asking about the methodology. That really came because again, 40 years of doing this and, you know, 12,000-13,000 readings, their patterns start to emerge. I'm a little slow on the uptake, so it took me that long. And then I thought, wow, I might be able to provide other people the opportunity to perceive as I perceive, or perceive the way that they perceive with the kind of process that I've learned over the years. So I put together a method that's really about how we not only access our wisdom through our intuition, but how then we perceive it in others, in groups, in rooms, and in the world. And I have to say, it always starts with you, your body, your uniqueness in this life. Because so many times we run into people, I don't know if you've had this experience where you'll run into someone who they tell me, oh, I had this wonderful psychic reading. This person knew everything about me. And I say, how did that help you? And they say, well, this person's amazing. They knew everything about me. I said, what a blessing that they know that. How did that help you? So we're looking at how a wisdom comes from not only reading what we see. We can see you know, you have this and this quality, but how do we add understanding and meaning so that it launches you towards the advancement of your soul's journey? And that's really what this kind of methodology is about.
Oh my gosh. Well, yes, I've had that other experience many, many times. And I think initially, maybe the first time or two, I had somebody tell me exactly what the facts of my life were. Maybe at the beginning, in a novice sort of way, it just confirmed for me. It was like proof that there's more going on than I can see and feel and touch and taste and all that. After that, you're so right. It's like, now what am I? Well, isn't that nice? That you already know what I know about myself. That's interesting. So when I don't know if you remember this from my reading, Dr. Raleigh, but one of the things you see things like a people as almost like a hologram, mm-hmm. right? And in the hologram, stories emerge.
Right.
And you go through the stories. Now, some people would say, are you reading my past lives that I'm living simultaneously? Because in the quantum field, there is no time. But you're like, whatever, it is a story, and we're going to look for the value for you, right?
Well, really, there's two things. It's true. Quantum physics tells us there's no time and space. However, when I'm looking at a story in your field that you might call a past life, it's there because you haven't resolved it. You're still operating out of some of the fears that have been unresolved in that story. And therefore, it's in present time. It's not past. It's present because you're still operating. And the gifts that came out of those lifetimes are still present, so that you're still operating out of those gifts and seeing how you've applied the essential gift in other lifetimes in other ways helps you to be able to validate you in ways that you sometimes might ignore. I find people, the amazing gifts they have, they're like, well, yeah. And I'm thinking, well, that's because it's normal for you, but that's astounding when you look from the outside in. And let me put this mirror up for you. So those are the two reasons why it's helpful to look at those stories.
So if I'm going to take us back to my reading as an example, there was one story you saw in my field of the baker. Do you remember that? Do you remember at all the details of the baker? In a village, loved to bake, baking up a storm, loves it, becomes quite well known for the baking, right? And very talented. And so the fame travels around the countryside and people are coming. But then there's some shenanigans that go on with friends and family who are like kind of infighting over the accumulated wealth and the accumulated attention. So when you saw that, how did you, what was the interpretation of why that was coming up for you in my field?
Well, part of it is that when you have a heartfelt desire to feed people, in your case, and in this environment, feed people's souls, that metaphor is you're feeding people. And the heartfelt reason that you're doing what you do is because you love it. And yet those around you can become their outcomes or their interpretations of what you're doing or what they take away is very different than that. They may say, oh, well, the thing about this is important is how much money we make, how much production we have, how many people know us, how famous we are. And so suddenly you have influences around you that have nothing to do with the joy that comes out of doing what you do best. And yet you're influenced by them. So reminding you that because you love something and others get something, other meaning out of it, doesn't have anything to do, you can lose your focus unless you stay understanding your passion and stay true to it.
Right. I thought that was amazing. And there was like 10 of those, 10 of those things. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so amazing. You made a comment to me. You and I had a conversation, and you were a guest in my small group mastermind, and you had made this statement to me. It was a grab a notebook moment for me, my friends. I wrote this down because I can feel this. I have said this in a different way, but I know this is true. And in your words, here's what you said. It is a historic moment to imprint on the field. What did you say more about that?
Well, particularly women, it's an historic moment that we have the freedom and opportunities to access resources that have never been available to women before, not only to be independent, but to allow ourselves the expression of love that comes uniquely through us. And that gives us access to expressing it in a way in history it's never been possible. And it's at a time in history when the polarization that we're seeing is really about, here's the thing. I'm going to say this, and I hope it's not too far afield from what you're aiming for here. But when I look at people talk to me about, well, what about this red and blue and these, all of this. And I said, the masculine and the feminine are both desiring power and feel threatened. And that's what's going on, because they both feel there might be lack and delay in their ability because of the forces that are, that they won't have the power they want. And when there's fear, it means that they're afraid there's a limitation, that the pie is only so big. And if they don't get their part, then someone else will take it from them. So there's no sense of being grounded in the infinite, grounded in the eternal, through which we can imprint on that field continually. And as women, particularly in this historic moment, we have everything we could possibly ask for to bring in our opinions, to have them heard, and to actually be like the Me Too movement, understanding each other as a force for good. So that's what I was referring to.
Oh, that field. Well, and here's what I find so interesting. So looking at, I'm going to expand our generation and mush it together. So like 45 and older, let's say all of us, I'm going to mush us together and say big generalization, but mostly true, that we were not trained and raised by women who had access to healing, who had access to healing from their trauma, who had access to leading edge, real spiritual training, as opposed to something that came through the patriarchal man-made church. Those women, our mothers and their mothers and their mothers, were just doing the best they could with what they had. If they had to make your school clothes out of curtains, that's what they did. I'm thinking of my grandma. There were hard times. A lot of drinking in the families, a lot of numbing, a lot of, working in the, factory pits and coming back from world wars and Great Depressions, the list goes on, without the what's available to us, like this conversation we're having tonight. So what I find so stunning is that we are the ones on the timeline who have been given this unbelievable opportunity that you can feel that is so palpable that we can shift the paradigm, even, and then we get to live the results of that. So it isn't like, yes, I'll make the world, I'll do all this work, and maybe generations after me will have, we get to live it. We get to live the last quarter or the last third of our lives in a new paradigm that was not accessible to our mothers and their mothers and their mothers. I mean, I just think that's really something.
Yeah, and I think that what we want to, I always like to think that we're standing on the shoulders of every generation that fought to have their voices heard, that pushed a little farther, that did everything, even, you know, in there's a woman who I adore, Bliss Brown, who says, in God's economy, no one and nothing is wasted. And when I worked with the CEO of the YWCA, we came up with an everything and everyone has value. And then there's no time when you put love into the quantum field that it is not felt and it is not added to the quantum field. It doesn't matter if anyone around you sees it or if it comes out the way you want it or it looks the way you think it should. The only thing that matters is that from the intent in your heart and the power that you have loved. And that goes into the quantum field. And what we have the opportunity to do now is we see the world as split, but, you know, breakdown is prelude to breakthrough every time. Breakdown is prelude to breakthrough. So what that means is that when we're truly in line with our spiritual selves, with our what I call our eternal selves, then we can stand in the presence of polarities, whether they're red and blue or black and white and pink and deep. We can stand in the presence of polarities and bring compassionate neutrality into that situation and hold it with love without needing to fix it or do anything, but send compassion to both sides to understand both sides feel threatened. Both sides are looking for, look at me. What about me? You forgot me. And whether we're talking about the Great Depression of World War II or the Great Depression of our teens and our 20-year-olds, because they're being put into an environment where they're trying to live up to an image and they can't find the authenticity of being accepted for who they are. What are they doing? Can you see me? Am I of value? Am I beloved? And that is the question all of us are asking. So we, because of all of you and your brilliance and your consciousness, we have the chance to stand for knowing, as mothers do, and as aunts do, and sisters do, you see this child going crazy and you go, too much sugar. Yep, this is going to be over in a little bit. And then they're going to go to bed. And we kind of have to do that on a global level. You know, yep, this is tough. This is a tough time, but we put our arms around it and say, it's okay. There's chaos, there's fear. And we're learning through fear and the contrast between fear and love and separation and unity. So the more we can allow ourselves to put our arms around this with sending love into that field, a compassionate neutrality, then the more that we are contributing to the possibility of when that crescendo happens, when as this comes together, as the polarities come to paradox, we've seeded the ground with our compassion. We've seeded the way so that it's ready. It's ready for it to catch as the polarities become paradox, and we get both and we get to the integration.
Amazing. That's so amazing. In a practical sense, we're walking through our lives. You know, if you're in the support system, you are committed to walking the path of transformation, to learning, to expanding, to growing. Is there a simple thing that, how do we become happier? How do we choose happiness? How do we live happier, more joyful lives?
I think that one of the aspects of this, especially for women, is self-honoring. I think that it's not really talked about and it's not really practiced as a practice. And I think for women whose nature is to care for others, when we look economically, you know, the seven presidents of countries have started to redefine the GDP in terms of networks of care. because a return on investment means making a difference in a community instead of just a financial end. So that women bring this different kind of currency, a different kind of vibrational field. But as a result of that, sometimes women lean into that and they forget themselves, because everyone counts first, and then them, us, we last. And so then the question is, how do we honor ourselves as we serve others in love? How do we continue to be aware of being fueled and inspired within ourselves and still continue to be connected with others and give as we feel that we are called? And I've always talked about a vertical loyalty versus a horizontal loyalty. When we have people around us asking for things, they're asking us to do things and be involved in things, and they're telling us their problems and trying to draw us in because they love us and they want us to be part of that, or they're thinking we're stronger and better than they are. When we lean into that and right away we respond, we're horizontally loyal. We're going to respond to them first. When we're vertically loyal, we're loyal first to our hearts. And we ask this question, and I've given this, many of you will know this exercise that I've given before in classes, that when someone asks you, if you default to taking care of others before you take care of yourself or instead of yourself, as many women do, one of the things you can do is when someone asks you something, take two physical steps backwards before you answer, close your eyes and ask two questions. How do I feel about this? And is this best for the highest good for this person and myself? Some people think that's three questions. I think of it as two. So when you do that, it does not matter whether or not you follow through and do something or not, because you're training your cerebral cortex to, one, think, well, wait a minute, my feelings are important. Your brain will say, what are you talking about? This is about them. And you continue to ask the question, and your brain, your cerebral cortex, has to begin to create synapses that goes after the question of how do I feel? And a lot of caregivers, a lot of readings I do, you have no idea how you feel because you've dedicated your life to feeling how other people feel to take care of them. So you don't check in to see how you feel because that might not be as important as taking care of others. So to honor yourself, you ask those two questions, your brain starts to go after, wait, how do I feel? And where would I check into how I feel? And is this right and best for the highest good? Actually calls in the guidance, your wisdom first. Oh, wait, there's wisdom. There's something else I need to be loyal to besides the person asking me that question. Yes, there is. And when you get practiced at that and you take a moment, you may hear, no, it's not best for the highest good. You have the time, you have capability. You could do it anytime. And no, it's not best. That person might need their pain to grow. They might need to talk to someone else besides you. But you can always ask for the angels to go in and help where you can't, or whatever your faith tradition provides you access to on a spiritual level, angels or spirits, guides or whatever, to ask for 1,000 blessings for what is best for their highest good in that moment, if it isn't you, so that you have served. You just haven't served in the way that you would be loyal horizontally instead of prioritizing vertical, and that means your heart, being loyal to your heart and your wisdom first.
So for many of us, Dr. Raleigh, that's going to be a new practice. And I think about, I mean, at one point, I had 1,000 people working on my team. So lots of tough calls, lots of hard positions, decisions I could make in service to somebody else. But in my own life, it'd be like, you know, just total horizontal loyalty. Okay. And so repatterning myself even now is sometimes I have to double back and say, I know I said yes. I didn't think that through. I didn't feel that through. That's not right for me. So I'm going to take that back. And that is, because I really want integrity around that. That when I said say yes, I know I've checked in to all levels of myself, and that I'm not just trying to make you happy or worse, trying to avoid conflict with you.
And that's a practice, right? That's a practice because we're taught as girls to please. We're taught to meet expectations. We're taught to exceed expectations. We're taught how to exceed expectations. And we're taught that we're loved when we do that. That's so right. When we don't do that, the question is, wait, what do you mean? We have the opportunity to be loved here. Are we not going to take that? And we have to redefine love. That we have to redefine love to that invisible place in ourselves that doesn't necessarily feel all good in the moment, but might be a very quiet voice that says yes.
And that really sending the angels, guides, however you define that, to somebody's aid is actually a powerful offering, that it's really is doing something.
It's more powerful than taking care of them yourself, because it happens that they have an entire, and this is what's so, I feel so honored to be able to look into people's souls and to look holographically at, you know, all of the ways that they're learning about love, because it helps me to understand why they would lean into something and think that's a better idea than not leaning into something else, and why other people would do the opposite and wonder what's wrong with that person that they do that. But when you stand in someone's shoes, the compassion that comes to the choices that they've made or that they make, you see how much bravery it takes to continue to practice being true to your heart. That's bravery. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to be brave, and we're here to make a statement from the uniqueness of our whole matrix that no one else can do but us. How does that look? How does love learn about us? How does love in the quantum field learn about itself through our imprint, through the uniqueness of our contribution?
When we remake those new patterns and we start behaving in those new ways, what happens to the field? What happens to our field? How would you see that? What would look different?
What happens is that when people are have a similar fear, that see, fear is encoded underneath the fear is our wisdom, right? So in all of my methodology, we befriend ourselves and all the parts of us that are afraid, that feel afraid, because we put it there because we didn't want to feel it. And then we cover it with something that looks completely acceptable to the rest of the world, so they don't question it, so we don't have to go there. So the bravery is to go where we don't want to go and uncover the wisdom that's underneath that and bring it forward and share it with the world. So now you're going to have to tell me your question again, because I just got it.
No. Wait, I got to write that down. Hold on.
It's in my own words. It's really sad.
we bring it forward and share it with the world. We uncover, yes, because when we're brave like that, we uncover.
I remember what you asked. You asked, how does the field look different? Well, when you go after it, and I just talked to somebody today in one of my classes about when they're so brave to have, like, it was daunting, the kind of fear that they had. And when they went after it today to decide, yes, I will befriend it. Well, yes, I will look at it. When you are persistent with that, and it almost takes the bravery to know that patience, it truly is one of the highest virtues. I call it staying. Staying is the highest skill. As far as I'm concerned, staying is the highest skill that you can develop. Staying with yourself, staying with your fear, staying with your feelings, staying. That's a skill. And we don't have much of it in this environment today. But when you stay and you choose to do it, if you're actually with having bequeathed that, in the Bible, they call that the sins of the father. And I think of sin as actions based on fear. So if the father or mother didn't address their fear, the child goes, wait, I want that fear too. I want to explore that fear too. I'll be that person's, those parents' kid, and I will explore that. If that person chooses to do their human homework and look right into that fear and stay and stay and stay, and they break through, what I see is the entire ancestral line moves into the light, and all of the generations forward, the light up. And those who would otherwise have come, let's say, to that mother who might be a mother to that child, goes to someone else because she's already worked through that fear. And then another challenge comes in, another child comes in that chooses to work through their challenge with that mother in a different way. So everything changes when you're brave and you choose to stay with that fear and find the wisdom behind it. And I want to say thank you to you, Sherry, because again, this way that you're allowing particularly the feminine frequency to grow and to be expanded through this collective force called your membership is profound. So first, I want to thank all of you for being part of making this a profound place and a profound moment. And why don't we take a moment and go in, decide if it is comfortable for you, and we'll close our eyes and take a deep breath. Because when we get aware that our breath is a friend to us, and we feel our beating hearts, and we feel like our breath is reaching down to embrace the beating of our unique hearts, and the beating of our heart is reaching out to embrace that breath, we find a partnership very quickly right there, a partnership of body and spirit, partnership of breath and life. And the breath of life is located in the heart, the seat of our wisdom. So when we locate our attention there, we can imagine the power that we have in this moment, in every moment we're alive, to bless the world by our insistence that we are love, others are love, and through that awareness, love expands. And so if we want to, we can take all of that energy in our hearts and begin to radiate it out, blessing our own field that's 2 feet around us on all sides, blessing the earth that's beneath us and supports us, opening to the influences of the highest vibrational love frequencies and friends in the realms, and asking that those who are divine can take the power of this group and this collective and bring it to the whole world to help the divisions in the world to know themselves deeply, so that when they integrate, they're blessed by that deep knowing. For those who have no one to think of them, to pray for them, for those between worlds who are not able to reach up and find a friend or know how to move to the next realm or find their bravery to address their fear or forgive themselves, to send this energy to them. And then to everyone who you know in your heart who has been suffering, is in need of the reminder that they're powerful and that their light lives in their heart, and sending this collective energy to them and permeating the world with our intention to love individually as a collective. And to know that because we decided, it is so. And to thank the divine feminine, the divine masculine, the divine, the source of all that is, the creator that has created us, and that we have chosen to be co-creators with. We thank all of those influences, and we ask that they be more present with us so we can embody, we can befriend our bodies as instruments and friends that express that unique love through us every day. And again, closing this circle in gratitude and appreciation for Sherry, for all that's done in this group and everyone that's here. I'm going to thank us. Thank you. Thanks, Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Raleigh's website, and let's put that up. She is easy to find. And Dr. Raleigh's book, your book, Dr. Raleigh, Mapping a New Reality. We put that in our shop. So the link to that is in our shop. I'm going to thank you so much. I'm going to send you on your way. I'm going to stay behind and talk to people for a little bit. And you and I will talk soon, my friend.
I look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that. I know. Come on, please. Please. Snap, snap, snap. Oh, my gosh. A snap feels too casual. I mean, she is something. She is a force. Listen, I, you know, there's nothing more. I want to talk about that all day long. I mean, that is, I don't even know what that is. It is. I mean, I'm like, I always, whenever I have to introduce her, I have to find the words, because it's beyond that. It isn't just like, well, you know, you have an arrow stuck in your third chakra. I mean, it is really, really super special to see her pull the gifts out of people. I want to say to those of you who joined us from Dr. Raleigh's world in the support system, loved having you. We all showed up here for a reason. And let's take the gem and put it in our treasure chest and just hold it close to us for the next couple of days. So glad you were here. And until we're together again, night, everybody.